it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Word, but I think beating Florida is the best thing that could happen for Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes, because now, you know, this was an obvious look ahead to Florida, but now in the USF beat Florida, that's going to grab your attention. I think the Canes are the much better team. I think also, you know, as impressive as USF's win was, if anybody watched that game, Florida lost that game as much as USF won it. I mean, Billy Napier's, you know, game clock management in the final 3 minutes. I've literally spent more time answering this question than Cristobal ran off the clock, you know, the final 2 minutes, which allowed USF the game-winning field goal. And then also, this is the USF's third consecutive game against a ranked team. They're trying to become only the fifth team in college football history to start the year 3-0 with three wins against ranked opponents. And finally, the last thing why I really like Miami here is that, you know, in the past 2 years, there's been seven Group 5 teams that have upset Power 5 teams. And then the following week, those guys are only 1-6 straight up. So I think Miami will pull away from, you know, what will be kind of a out of gas USF team. And obviously Miami will have no issues staying up for Florida. But, you know, it may be tied early. But again, Florida's USF's offense has been okay, but they've taken advantage of a lot of mistakes by Boise State and certainly by Florida, who had, I think, two or three touchdowns called back by penalties. But, you know, I think the Canes get to 3-0 pretty easily here.
Well, when the schedule came out, everybody was looking at that Florida Miami game, right? Big rivalry game and this and that. And all of a sudden, it's that other little team in Florida.
Yeah.
They just sneak up and bit them in the ass. Now, all of a sudden, this game has become look, this is an important game for Mario. Look, not only, you know, Billy Napier have problems, you know, he hasn't really called a real clean game himself over the last couple games. So, and he's had some history of that. So, could be very interesting.
Yeah, it shows you what all the experts know, right? I mean, the USF game was supposed to be a cakewalk, and now it's going to be the only I think nationally ranked first ranked team, and it's going to be on the CW. And you know, we thought Florida State was going to be a cakewalk, and it looks like the Seminoles are vastly improved over last season. So. But yeah, I mean, the good news is, you know, even if Miami doesn't feel like they've had their A game in the first 2 weeks, survive in advance. You know, I think I talked with you guys about this, you know, a couple weeks ago, the way you no longer have to win your conference to get into the college football playoff. And that's a huge difference. I think the Notre Dame game gave Miami a huge step up on everybody as far as the playoff, and Miami can get the double digit wins. I think they're in a great, great spot for a playoff. Obviously they want to win out all of them, win the ACC and all that, but they're in a great position right now.
Hey, Brett, Byron Brown, boy, I know he's hurt a lot of last year, but boy, he could throws it pretty well, runs it. What's the best way to defend him? For you, because he will take off and run. You rush, and he sees a crack. He's going to take off and go if you get after him.
Yeah, he's been very impressive. Basically, when he's been playing, USF's a totally different team. He's a big guy, so you're not necessarily going to take him down on first contact. I'm guessing the best way Miami will do that is maybe keep a spy on him. But yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, how he goes, USF goes. So it's kind of the old adage, you know, you want to kill the snake, you cut the head off. Well, he's definitely the head of the snake.
Is
but he's been very, very impressive, and he is finally healthy, which is good for USF.
Is Coach Napier, by the way, getting back to the Gainesville situation, they're getting ready to play at LSU. Is it too early? Because we said last year he was in trouble and they played really well over the second half of the season. What's the take in the word in Gainesville on Napier right now?
Well, yes, the USF loss basically erased. It's almost like the end of last year when they finished with the 4-game winning streak. You know, it's almost like a balloon. It filled up with all this good vibes and mojo and everything. With the USF loss, just literally poked a pin in that balloon, and it's flat now. Look, is he on a hot seat? Absolutely. But the next 4 weeks, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, and then 2 weeks after that, Georgia.
Oh,
he will decide his own fate in those next six games. I mean, if they go 4-2, if they're 5-3 after that stretch, he's got a chance. If he's 2-4 after those next six games, it's kaput. And it's just a matter of when they're going to make the announcement. So as bad as the USF loss was, the good or bad news, depending on your thoughts on Florida, is he can still save his job or he can still seal his fate based on these remaining games. With that schedule, that's pretty much how it always was going to be this year. I don't think anybody expected, though, that he'd be out of the gate at 1-1. They figured it'd be 2-0 going into that stretch.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so Notre Dame's an interesting one. I looked at that schedule. They got Texas A&M at home this week, and then that schedule, there's not much on there unless USC is some kind of surprise. I look at that thing. If they run the table, where could they end up? They're going to the playoffs, right? If they just have one loss to Miami, because that could happen.
Yeah, no, we talked about earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago, is that was how important that win for Miami was. Because for Notre Dame, now they're on the flip side. They have no equity built up. And you're right, they play A&M this week. If they run the table, 11-1 Notre Dame will get into the playoffs.
Yeah, jeez.
At 10-2 Notre Dame that loses to Miami and Texas A&M, now you're putting it in the committee's hands, and that's not always a good thing. You mentioned the rest of their schedule, a lot of tomato cans. They do get USC. maybe ranked at that point. But again, I think a 9-3.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
SEC or Big Team, or even a 9-3 Miami compared with a 10-2 Notre Dame that loses to A&M and Texas, that loses to A&M and Miami. I think 9-3 Miami would get in over a 10-2 Notre Dame because they'd have the head to head. So I think this game is critical for Notre Dame's playoff hopes. Obviously, they got to take care of business the rest of the way. But yeah, 0-2 start for Notre Dame, and they'll be looking for one of those other bowls in Florida.
You know, it's funny. I'm kind of looking big picture. You're 2 weeks going into the third week of the college football season, right? We're going into the second week of the NFL season, and there's so much turmoil. Ah, this guy should be fired.
Yeah.
What? And you're already saying, well, look, if this guy, you're already putting people in the college playoffs and in the the NFL. Oh, these coaches. I mean, there is no room to breathe. When you get into football, whether it's college or in the pros, as you move forward.
Well, you've seen it. We see it now. Brett, to Bo's point, with what just happened with the Dolphins, looked terrible. And people are going, how long before these guys are gone? All of them. The whole team went.
Yeah.
And everybody wants it now, man. Right. In today's world, like, okay, that's it.
Well,
they project
out from one game, you know?
Yeah, right.
Hey, this team is going to be horrible.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm just, oh, my gosh.
The most common tweet I saw was, who's going to get fired first, the Gators coach or the Dolphins coach?
Yeah. And people are happy about it, right?
Yeah.
People are happy about it. Oh, man, I want this guy to be the guy.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, gosh. Brett, thank you, man. I really appreciate you coming on this morning. Are you coming down the game?
I'll be watching that one. That one didn't rate same as the Notre Dame is the convicts versus Catholics game.
There you go.
I'll be watching on the CW with the rest of America.
Yeah, you got it. I'll be there with you, Brett. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider on 3 Sports. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst, is going to join us. We're going to talk to him coming up here about their team, quarterback situation. What happened in the second half, and just how good are the New England Patriots right now? We'll have that with us. Kimbo Camper's in the studio. We're going to go to break here real quickly. But before we do, we got to talk about something that's part of sports that nobody likes to talk about, but it sure is nice to have. That's Baptist Health South Florida and that sports medicine program they put together. Enter Miami, the Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins. They trust them.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.